Thank you, Joanne, and praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Well, the book of Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and it's all good, honestly. It's hard to say, but I love to read Ecclesiastes. Several times I have just read it through, just different times. I just enjoy it so much. Really, it's kind of a discouraging book, to be honest with you, but there's just so much wisdom in it, and the conclusion of the matter, obviously, we see in Ecclesiastes, and again, it is, the conclusion is kind of discouraging if you really think about it, because after everything, the wisest man on the face of this earth, after everything, after all that he'd gone through, after all he contemplated, after all his wisdom and all his knowledge and everything, and after he tried this and tried that and everything everybody else is trying, and we're all trying, he concluded it's all vanity. It's all empty. It's just empty. And without Christ, a life is an empty, empty life. And all the things in the world, they don't fill that emptiness. Only he can fill that. But I want to talk to you this morning out of Ecclesiastes, and in fact, I'll be in that pretty much the whole time. But the title is The Reason for the Season. The reason for the season. You say, well, that's perfect. A nice Christmas message here. Oh no, way too early for Christmas messages. It's not a Christmas message, but it is the reason for the season. Father, bless the preaching and help us today to understand what Solomon and, of course, what your Holy Spirit wants us to get today from your word. I pray that you'll challenge us, but also encourage us. And we who are saved, let us rejoice that we have a God who's in control of everything, every season, every day, every minute, every second of our lives. You're in control, and we thank you so much for that. Please give us what we need and speak to us. And if there's anyone here not saved today, please save them, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, I would like everybody to read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's not a long book, and you could read it several times, read it and just keep reading it over and over. I do read from Proverbs every day, but sometimes, every now and then, I'll take some special time out and just read through Ecclesiastes and just keep reading it. Again, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, not including the Lord Jesus, but Solomon was wise. You remember God had given him an opportunity to have whatever he wanted, and he could have asked for riches, he could have asked for land, he could have asked for all kinds of things, power, but he asked God for wisdom, and I believe that pleased God very, very much. He asked God for wisdom so that he could rule God's people, and he needed wisdom, and so when God gave him wisdom, he then used his wisdom, and he became also very wealthy. God blessed him in many, many, many ways, and so he's wise. He's got all this wisdom, plus he has all this knowledge, plus he has all this wealth and all these things, and so the book of Ecclesiastes, we see him as he contemplates all these things, and he has a realization that comes across him. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 2, his realization, he says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity," and of course vanity is the same idea of something being empty. And literally, he's saying it's all in vain. Everything is vain. Everything is empty. And so throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, he proves it. He just proves to us that, you're here today and you're, I just want lots and lots of money. That's empty. That's what he's saying. Well, I just want to have more fun than any. I'm going to outfun everybody. He said, that's just vanity. I'm going to drive the biggest and baddest car that there is out there, and he says, no, that's vanity. You know, well, I'll own lots of land and I'll build big buildings. And he says, you know, you can, and that's all vanity. And you name it, all the things we think are so important. In fact, Solomon, you know, he proves this throughout Ecclesiastes, but maybe this passage or this book of the Bible might be the greatest attack on secular humanism of all the Bible. Honestly, you know, the idea that man is the measure of all things. Notice what he says in chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, one generation passeth away. That's what happens to us. We pass away, and another generation cometh. So one passes away, then another one comes, and then that one passes away, and another one comes. But look what he says. But the earth abideth forever. Oh, we think we're something, don't we? Well, outlast a mountain. Hello, right? You know, outlast a tree. I mean, seriously, he said the earth abideth forever. By the way, so much for global warming, right? But anyway, and I that's not the message. But his testimony, I think, is so clear here. In verse 12 of chapter 1, he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen, here's his testimony, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He says it's all empty. Verse 15, he says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. He's talking about all the things he has. And have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. He with all that wisdom, he studied and he learned and he knew so much. And he had all this wealth and all these things and all these possessions. In fact, verse 17, he says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. He said, not only was I wise, but he said, I also did some foolish things and did some crazy things. Yeah, you say, boy, I feel pretty good about that. And he said, I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. Boy, he tried mirth. Later on, he talks about in chapter 2, he says, go to now, I'll prove thee with mirth. He said, okay, I had all the wealth, had all the knowledge. I studied books. I went in the library. I read and read and read. I Googled this and I Googled that and I learned and learned and learned. And he said, that increased. All that did was brought on sorrow. All that did was bring on grief. He said, I had all these things. I had all the money. I had the wealth, had the possessions, had all these things, and none of it worked. So he said, okay, well, I'll try mirth. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, I'll prove thee with mirth and therefore enjoy pleasure. So he went partying like so many do. You know, he said, I'm going to try this out. He said, I said, of laughter, it's mad, of mirth, what do it? He said, none of this, it's just not working. Oh, he tried alcohol. Verse 3, I sought in mine heart to get myself unto wine. He tried that. And all through this chapter 2, he talks about the buildings he built, the vineyards and the gardens, and he had servants, and he had herds of animals, and he had all this entertainment, and he had, you know, every kind of TV station you could get, and all the sports, and all that kind of stuff, and everything, he had it. In chapter 2, verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I mean, this is a guy that could buy everything. He said, I withheld not my heart from any joy. He said, you know, everything out there that people talk about that say, this is great. This is what he said, I did it. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And he said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, get it, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It's, you know, you read that and you think, what in the world is this all about? I mean, here's a guy, he had it all. He had everything. He had the ability to if he didn't have it, he had the ability to get it, and he tried it. He tried it all. He's a king. He's wealthy. He's wise. And God let him try all these things. And he learned some amazing, amazing things. And he comes to chapter 3, and he uses a word that we use so often that's what I want to talk to you about today, the reason for the season. Because he talks about, to everything, there is a season. And so, again, we understand seasons. We understand summer turns to fall, and then fall turns to winter, and winter turns to spring. And it doesn't matter where you live. You always have the seasons. There are changes, not necessarily. Hawaii, it's not a huge change, but they do celebrate. I remember our first time we were in Hawaii around Christmas, and it was funny to see people in their T-shirts and 85 degree temperatures, and they're singing Christmas songs, you know. But everybody, you know, they have their seasons, and we understand seasons. We also, all of us here, understand age seasons. We understand that. We now, young people, the little kids, they don't really grasp that. They think people that are old, they think you've just always been that way. It's hard for a child to grasp that you were a child. I'll tell Kelsey, yeah, I remember when I was your age, and they look at me like, no way. I mean, they can't grasp. But we understand because we came from there. We were there. And so we understand seasons. We understand what he's saying. He says to everything there is a season. But we understand it. We don't really necessarily believe it for our own lives. And that's where we have issues and we have problems. You know, here we understand seasons, and I don't know that he's talking necessarily about the summer and the fall, although that is an explanation, or age seasons, or even if he's talking about what we would call good things and bad things. Those are also seasons. He's just talking about different things that are different. They're opposite, or they're not the same as something else, and we see it. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what you plant. In other words, the harvest time. There's the planting time. There's a harvest time, time to kill, a time to heal. And it goes on. And it says a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, embrace, refrain from embracing, time to keep silence, a time to speak. All those different things. There's a time. And there's the key word right there. There's a time for all those things to take place. Each has its season. And in our lives, we see so many of these. I mean, we watch them take place. It wasn't really just a couple of weeks ago. We still had some pink roses on our little rose bushes out front. Well, they're gone now. But they had their season, didn't they? They had their time where in the spring they started to bud, and then roses came out and they were very pretty. But now you look at the little rose bushes there and they look kind of boring. They've since fallen off and died and turned brown and everything. The leaves of summer, you know, we all love that. We love the spring. We watch the buds, you know, and the green and everything. And, well, you know, then it turns fall colors, and we like all that. And that's kind of pretty. And then all of a sudden, it's just a bunch of brown sticks out there, you know. And it's just, that's the sign of winter. It has its time. The smooth skin of a baby, and it becomes like this. Ooh. And the spots and the wrinkles and all those kind of things. There's the strength of youth, and there's the weakness of the aged, right? You know, it's a season of smiling today, but it can just so easily be tears tomorrow. It's how it is. It is exactly what he said. By the way, that's why, because everything passes away. It all changes, and so to hang on to anything temporary, Solomon says it's all vanity. Amen. It's empty. Oh, my car! Your car is going to be rust. Come on, some of those great cars you once owned. My 74 Camaro, it was nice. It's not nice now. I can guarantee it may be about that big now, you know, what they do to them. Some of you have had some real nice cars. You remember back in those days, right? And then you had kids, and so much for nice cars. But it all comes, it all goes. It's wonderful, and it's not. And then it is again, and then it's not. And you're laughing, and an hour later you're crying. And those seasons. Now I want to talk to you about the reason for the season. Because he gives us such a great, and the whole book. I mean, I'm not going to preach the whole book this morning, but I do want to talk to you. You know, folks can have you, and we watched this. We actually just saw this happen in the 2008, 2007, 8, 9, 10, right in that time. You know, people that went from wealth to nothing. Boom. People in the Depression years ago, they remember those days. And people that had it all to jump it out the windows because they lost everything. You know, whatever the season is, understand, it whatever you're holding on to, it's all vanity. If it has anything to do with this earth, it has anything to do with humanity, has anything, oh, but I'm having a good time, but you won't always have a good time. I'm having a lot of fun, but you won't always have fun. Yeah, you watch the Hollywood crowd, you know, and boy, they're living it up with all their millions and their good looks and whatever it may be that got them where they are. But watch them in the later years. It's not so hot then. Let me talk to you about this, the reason for the season here the next few minutes. Number one, we see the plan. The plan. God says this. He says there's a time to every purpose. God has, let's understand, my last point is the purpose, because it is, that's really what the message is all about, the reason for the, why? Well, God's just saying, I'm giving you time. There's time for all these things to take place. And you know, one of the things that we especially as we get older, time becomes more precious, doesn't it? Every day, every minute, you know, it just becomes more precious to us. But God has a plan. We all go through many seasons. Watch this, chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. He said, I wanted to get all of it. It's hard to believe. Solomon, who's the wisest man, he did delve into madness. Maybe he played some video games. I don't know. He might have. You know, madness. That's kind of what that is, right? You know, and folly. He did some foolish things. You know, I don't know what all that means. I just know he said it. Well, we know one of the foolish things he did was he married a whole bunch of women. But and got all those mother-in-laws. But he says this, what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. In other words, everything has already been done that you think you're going to do. I'm going to do something new. No, you're not. No, you're not. He said, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly. Yes. As far as light excelleth darkness. Yes. He said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. Yes, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. He said, by far, wisdom is better. But one event happens to the wise as well as the foolish. Are you listening? And then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. And so the wise man is driving down the road and the fool is driving down the road and the road has an earthquake and opens up and swallows them both up. And he said, you know what? It's vanity. It didn't do me any good to be wiser. Didn't do me any good to be smarter. Right? Yeah. And he said, you know what? It's just vanity. The Bible says in another passage, says it rains on the just and the unjust. Doesn't matter, you know, whoever you are. Well, but I'm smarter than they. Yeah, and you know what? You'll die. Well, yeah, but I'm wealthier. And you know what? You'll get sick. Right? Well, yeah, but I got more going for me. And your car will quit working. All these things. Because God says, and please don't miss this. Doesn't matter who you are. There's a purpose. And it's called a season, and God is the one in control. There you go. That's I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to understand something. There's a plan. I love the way Solomon he goes through everything, and he tried folly. He said, "You know what? Wisdom's better than folly. I know that it's better, but the truth of the matter is, we end up the same. Do you understand? Wise people get buried just like foolish people get buried." I've done funerals for both. There isn't a whole lot of difference. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, it says, for there is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all know that. We're all the same. Doesn't matter whether you have money. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of house you live in. Doesn't matter how you came to church. Whether you walked, you rode a bike, you took a moped, you came in a sleigh or a fancy car, or maybe you brought your helicopter and it landed out in the field. I don't know. Doesn't matter. We're just, he sums it, we're just, everything is the same except for one thing, and that's the seasons. Because God has a purpose for each one of us, no matter who we are. The fool, God has a purpose for. And the wise, God has a God has something. And in my mind, I try to imagine Solomon going through all this, and you read it in Ecclesiastes, the wisest man couldn't figure it all out. It just was so frustrating. In fact, chapter 5 and verse 14, and I'm skipping around because there's just so much, but here's what he says. He says, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. I mean, there is so much he is trying to figure out. There's so much he can't quite grasp. He just can't quite get it all. Chapter 2 and verse 18, he said, yea, I hated all my labor. He said, I did all this work. I had wisdom. I had knowledge. I went to the library. I studied. And then I worked. And I worked all these jobs. And I learned how to make money. And I made a lot of money. He said, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun. And look why he hated it. Watch what he says. He says, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. What's his problem? Well, he says this. He said, who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I've labored. Boy, you talk about getting frustrated. He said, I showed myself wise. I did all this, built this, and when I die, some dummy is going to take over and ruin everything. Oh, wow. You know, but God has a plan. That's the whole thing. Seriously, here's a guy, you know, just when we think, this is why the Bible is so clear. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. There always is. We've all got it figured out, right? Solomon says, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because whatever you're thinking, it's vanity. Whatever you got connived, whatever. But he says, God has a plan. My plans seem awful silly whenever I think about God having a plan. I mean, seriously, folks, God who knows the past, and he knows the present, and he knows the future, and he knows me better than I know me. I mean, God has a plan. God is in control. You know, honestly, I've tried to stop the snow. Last year was one of the hardest years in my relationship with God because we kept getting snow on Saturday. I'd get mad at the weatherman. Poor Blizzard Bill. You know, it'd start on Tuesday. And I'd be watching, and he'd say, well, it looks like another big one's going to hit Saturday night. And I think, immediately, it's like, why, God? Not Saturday night, Sunday night, about 9 o'clock, right? And it just kept happening. But the fact of the matter is, and Solomon, you know what? Even if you could figure out how to deal with all the snow, you're so foolish because it's all empty because God's plan. What if we could stop God's plan? Wouldn't that be the most foolish thing we could ever do? Because God's plans are always perfect. Now, stay with me here, all right? Look, I have tried, and billions of dollars are spent every year by people trying to stop aging. That's why you put that wrinkle cream on. And then you say to your husband, well, how's it look? And what's he going to say? Seriously, ladies, what do you think your husband, who's not stupid, what do you think he's going to say to you? You still look terrible. He's not going to say that. He's always going to say, oh, honey, I think it's doing what it's supposed to. What about the crow's feet? And he doesn't even have a clue what you're talking about. He wants you to take off your shoes, but he just says, uh-huh. My wife, she'll say, honey, is the back of my hair, how's it look? And, you know, I look and it looks like hair. I don't know what you want me to say. So what do? I always do this and say, there, it's perfect. What do you expect? Seriously, but anyway. We've tried to stop aging, right? Thousands, millions. Come on, the guys that have tried Rogaine, you know? Now, somebody gave me Rogaine, and maybe I put some, but I thought that was ridiculous. But I did have one of those things that, back when I still had some hair, one of those little comb things that you did on your hair, head, and it goes, you know. And I was doing it one day, and I said, yeah, stupid this is. And I would never do the comb over because the wind always uncombed it over. People are putting stuff in their lips to make them bigger. They're putting stuff in their eyes to get rid of the wrinkles, you know, Botox and all that kind of stuff, and their eyebrows and their face and plastic. And if you did, I'm not against you. I'm just saying, you know, the truth of the matter is, God has a plan. And it's a season. He said now don't get me wrong on this, but he said in chapter 1, verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. I was thinking about nose surgery, and it's just, look, he has a plan for us. He has a plan. And in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14, and I know I'm jumping around, there's so much, it's just so good. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. In other words, we're not going to figure God out. Man is not going to figure God out. Man cannot predict what's going to happen. Don't you hear him? You know, this is the coldest winter we've ever. Oh, this is the warmest summer we've ever. We can't believe we got snow here. And come on, we're going to be trying to. God says this, I've put one over against the other. You're going to have one, then you're going to have the other. Then you're going to have one, and then you're going to have the other. And he said, I put one over against the other because it is a time that is part of my plan. And we have things go good, we call it good, and then we have those things we don't think are so good. But it's all part of a God in heaven's plan. He has a plan. He has different seasons. Number two, we see the preparation. Since there are different seasons, we have to prepare for seasons that are going to come. That's, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had a warm day, and I immediately thought, you know what? I'm going to have to get ready, because warm days will not be here. Now, again, here's what they said. They said, we've never had a fall like this one. Well, but that's our God. By the way, whenever Blizzard Bill says that, or whoever it is you maybe pay attention to, how about saying praise the Lord? Because our God, he doesn't have to send winter or spring or summer or fall. He is not boxed in. He just does whatever he does. And so Namibia is having a drought right now. But other places are flooded. Our God, he's not limited. Have you ever heard the newsman say, they've never had an earthquake here before? Praise the Lord. Not because they had an earthquake, but because God's in control of it. He has a plan. In chapter 7, verse 14, we just looked at it. Notice what it says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. The preparation. So while you're rejoicing and praising the Lord, the day of prosperity, just know that, you know, at the end of the mountain is always a what? A valley. You know, when you're on the mountaintop, he says, okay, be joyful. We talked about this, you know, as far as Thanksgiving and Wednesday night. By the way, what a great service Wednesday night. All the testimony. It was a beautiful service. But it's a warm day, so prepare for the cold day. And the other day, I got out in the garage and, you know, rearranged everything, got all the Christmas stuff right where I can get to it in case walking across my yard is snow. And got the shovel out, got the broom out, you know, got everything out on the porch. I'm ready. Amen. And I was ready for the big snow that we had the other day. By the way, it's gone. Hallelujah. Prepare, right? Be joyful, rejoice, but prepare. Young people, prepare for retirement. That's what they told us, right? Yeah, and we did, sort of, and some didn't, and you know, but prepare. Christian, you know, walk with God, because you're on the mountaintop today, but the valley will come. You better walk with God. You better get close to God. But especially Solomon, you know, he said there's a time to be born. Boy, we like that, don't we? Isn't that wonderful when a little baby's born? It's so exciting, you know, and all the, you know, a little baby being born, and we always announce, you know, how, if it's a boy, how tall they are, if it's a girl, how long they are, right? And we don't, and we talk about their weight when they're born, and then we stop talking about their weight. But he said there's a time to be born, and we say, yes! Oh, then there's a time to die, because that's part of God's plan. And God told us so clearly in the scripture, prepare to meet thy God. Maybe you're here today and you're not prepared. You know, there is, you say, well, I came to church. Coming to church isn't preparing to meet God. It's a good place to learn, but it's not the right. You say, well, I got baptized. That's a good thing to do after you get saved, but that's not how you prepare to meet thy God. You have to realize you're a sinner and realize Jesus paid the price for your sin. And call upon Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you of your sin. And he will save you, and then you are prepared. Because that time to die, it will come. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Prepare to meet thy God. Solomon said, I've learned all these things. I've learned, and he said, everything else is vanity. You know, if you're in the valley now, get ready. There's a mountain coming. Go ahead and start praising the Lord now. Amen. Because there's a mountain coming. And praise the Lord for that. The plan, the preparation. Number three is the patience. Again, we're getting close to that final point, and that's the purpose. But how about the patience? Because he said in chapter 7, verse 14, again, he said, again, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. What's he saying? He's saying, well, stop and think a little bit. Think about that unpleasant season a little bit. Just consider a little bit. Like, for example, in my older age now, I do think an awful lot about how I can be thankful for what God did when I was younger and be thankful that I was able to run and able to do things and work hard and all that. And I'm not saying I'm not able to do all that now, but I don't do it like I used to. Right? I mean, there is a time to consider. Well, think about it. You say, well, yeah, but things aren't so good now. But if things aren't good, that means they were better. That's part of what Phyllis gave a testimony about, how sometimes when I talk to her, I turn everything around. Amen. Because as a Christian, that's easy. I know when you're there, it's not so easy to do, but yet if you just stop and consider, that's why he says to consider. You know, God's in control of everything. Amen. You say, but I don't like the winter. And right here's a guy that also does not like the winter. But I love God. And I know the winter is on purpose. It's not a, you know, God does not say oops. Oh, oops, it snowed on Saturday night. Every Saturday night. I think they might have chuckled a little bit at me. I hope they've decided they've had enough laughter so that doesn't happen this year. But consider, he says. You know, again, in the winter, my wife has more pain. Her body hurts more. And again, but what does, you know, God, okay, but be patient. Be patient. Do you understand? So many times we can stop and we can say, one of these days, there will be no pain. You're here today and you have pain in your body. You have issues. Your body's wearing out. It's got problems and all of that. Realize this. One of these days it will have no problems.
That's right.
And there was a day when you didn't have those problems. And so sandwiched in, there was a season. Just a season that'll come and it will go. And there's just that season of pain. Problems. You know? I mean, the truth of the matter is, By February, we will already, some of you that have said, well, I wanted it to snow on Thanksgiving. You dare say that to me. And then there's always, oh, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. The weather outside is bright. And you're so excited, you know. By the end of February, though, you won't be that excited. And the first time you slip and fall, you'll really be upset. You're laying there in the snow, and it's in your, you know, it's soaking through your clothes. I don't want that to happen to you. I really don't. But you can understand that we just have to be patient. The trial, right? The trial you're going through, be patient. Oh, God loves you. It's a season. It's something that God has allowed. The Bible says this. It says in James 5 and verse 11, it says, ye have heard of the patience of Job. You know, when we think of Job, we don't really think a lot about patience, and yet that's what the scripture says. It said, you've heard of the patience of Job. Most of us, when we think of Job, what do we think of? Wow, he lost everything. Have you ever considered the Bible says, not one time did he curse God. Oh, his wife told him, curse God and die. But he didn't do it. God said, that's how I want you to go through your season. He lost everything. But then God, be patient. Because God gave him back double. Psalm 30, verse 5, the psalmist says it so well, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the morning's coming. You know, it was this time last year and through the spring, Brother Denias, your health was terrible. You thought you were going to die. I was thinking about that as I was working on the message and reading this scripture and thinking about seasons. And there were the Deniases really going through a trial. Terrible, terrible trial. You had not even the slightest idea you'd be sitting in that pew now. You had no clue you'd come up on this platform and receive a check to buy a car. No idea. Folks, honestly, you need to be patient with God. Because the seasons, you know. I think about Margot and when she was there in the Grand Hotel. From their place, which they love in Namibia. And there she is. She would have no idea. Do you understand? One of these days, you're going to be standing on your front porch of your mansion, looking out at heaven's glory. Do you understand? And it's going to make this season of whatever you go through, whatever trial, it's going to make it look like nothing. Oh, patience. Patience. Our God has a plan. He has a plan. And he has us to prepare for whichever season may be next. And he wants us to be patient. But number four is the peace. And it to me, this is, it's not totally the purpose, and yet it's part of it. And I wrote these words, learn to make friends with your season. Learn to make friends with your season. Okay, if you need to go build a snowman, build a snowman. If that makes you, if that's thrilling, if that's good, you know, I got to do something with this stuff. Yeah. I don't know. You know what I was thinking about? And Debbie Hatt, she writes all these poems, and she wrote a poem about winter one time and about the fluttering flakes and by the fireplace, I don't remember exactly. But the other night, I was laying in bed, and I like the weight of a comforter. Do you know what you're talking about, what I'm talking about? Do you know what you're talking about? No, what I'm talking about. I like that heavy, that blanket that my wife put on the bed when it started getting cold. I like that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's something about that. I like that. And all of a sudden, I had to stop and I had to praise God that it was cold. Because when it's hot, what do I do with that thing? But snuggling, I like snuggling. If my wife were here, she'd amen right now. Fire in the fireplace. You know, when I was young and a new pastor, I still remember Brother Denias. I remember saying, boy, I wish I was older so people would respect me. I'm serious. I mean, that's so funny, you know. I wished for age and wisdom and all that. And truth of the matter is, there's still not the respect that I think that we may want. But I don't care anymore. Yeah. I just want to please God. Amen. Age could be our enemy, or it could be the vehicle by which we get closer to heaven. Right? By the way, age should be a vehicle by which we get closer to Jesus. Right? Because we've known him longer. Right? The key, though, is his peace in whatever the season is. His peace. Trust him. Most testimonies are like this. They go from a bad season. Here's the average testimony, seriously. This was going wrong in my life, and look what God did. That's what most testimonies are about. Then how about this? God did something. God's going to do something. He always does something. That's the season. There should be peace in the valley. Peace in the season. It's God's peace. And so we come to the last thing, number five, and that's the purpose. The purpose. What is this all about? Because again, you know, we realize man is nothing. And all that we try, everything, you know, well, I'll just go get drunk. I heard that for so many years. Nothing's going right. I'll just go get drunk. That doesn't make anything right. Solomon said, tried it. Well, I'll just go play for a while. Solomon said, tried it. Women. He said, I tried it. Whatever the thing might be. He said, I've tried it all. And so it came down to a good conclusion. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. There are other verses. But here's what I think the purpose is. It's a realization. Chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything. Nobody's going to change what God does. Are you listening? You're not going to change it. If a tornado is on its way, bless God, you better get in a basement. Truth of the matter is, you can die of a heart attack in the basement. You're not going to change the season. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, watch it, that men should fear before him. Well, I got enough money to... You don't have enough money to keep yourself alive. People are trying. Oh, people are spending millions of dollars to freeze their body till they find a cure. I got news for you. Once they freeze your body, the cure is there. You're dead. Yep, you killed the disease and you. Folks, listen. He said, that which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past, that men should fear before him. Why, you know, the world is teaching that man is the measure. Man somehow flopped himself out of the water and became a person over billions and billions and billions of years. They never do. Talk about how that life ever had that first little spark. It just did. Do you know how dumb that is? But anyway, okay, fine. Solomon says, all right, you go ahead and think that. You go ahead and think man is getting better and better. Truth of the matter is, I tried everything you're going to try. I did everything you're going to do. I tried the age cream. I tried the anti-snow machine. I tried all the things to get rid of bad trials. I spent my money. I paid for this. I bought that. I had every kind of doodad that was available. I had the new sweeper that is cordless. I had the new car that is driverless. That's a dumb idea. I had the smartest smartphone in the world, the biggest computer. I had it all. The best computer was my own brain. And he said, you know what? Man better just fear God. And man better be prepared to meet him. And if you're going through a trial, you better just trust him. Because he's God. He is God. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way, and all else is vanity. The reason for the season, you know, that men should fear before. That's why it all happens. We can't stop a tornado. We can't, try to stop an earthquake. They're working on it. They're working on it. Can you honestly imagine? You know what my Bible says about an earthquake? God shakes the earth.
Well, the tectonic plates, when they align and they shift, phooey.
God just says, blink. But you know what? He also stops it. And he also keeps us tilted so we don't fry or freeze. Those are the two options if the earth is off just a tad. And that's all because we're lucky. That's all because there's a God in heaven. And you know what? Whatever trial you're going through, whatever season you're in right now, God's in control. Be patient. Let him do the work that he's allowed that time for, and praise him. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, nobody talking, nobody looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I do not know whether I'm saved. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come get you. I promise you that. I want to pray for you. Serious business. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet your God? Nobody looking. I'm the only one looking. You'd say, I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I am not sure that I'm saved. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Pray for me. Thank you. Father, I come to you now thanking you for the seasons. I wish that was always my attitude. I wish I would never complain. I wish I would never gripe. I wish, God, that I'd be better. I'd be a better Christian, be a better son, and trust you more. But I do come now knowing, God, that there's a reason for the season. And I would ask you, God, to help each of us to learn what we need to learn from our season, whether it's a time of life, whether it's a time of year, whether it's a trial or whatever it is, God, help us to learn, to trust you, to be patient, to prepare. If things are good, God, to rejoice and to prepare for when things are not so good. Thank you for the seasons. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name.